Well, it is a joy to just be able to gather with you. I've heard a lot about you guys, and I know that we sent a little video to kind of introduce ourselves because we couldn't actually make it here face-to-face to tell more about what is going on in Turkey. So for us, it's a joy just to actually see you all, meet you all face-to-face. It's always a joy to know who is praying for you and actually know them face-to-face. I'm sure on your end, who you're praying for is kind of a nice thing as well. And so my name is Matt McCartney, my wife Ashley, and our three kids. And for the last 3.5 years, we've had the privilege, and I really do mean that word seriously, we've had the privilege of serving the Lord in Turkey, and specifically in a city called Antalya, Turkey. And before that, we actually lived in Russia. We lived about 3.5 years in Russia. My wife's from South Carolina, but it is in Russia that we had, is where we met. And so the Lord kind of brought us to that place, and really with a desire of reaching people from the Muslim world. And so we went to an area first in Russia that was predominantly Muslim, and then now we're living in Turkey, which is a very large Muslim country. And so today, we are going to just be walking through a passage in the book of Acts. And so if you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 14. And we're really just going to use Acts kind of as a guide, and hoping to just tell you more of really what God is doing. So open up with me to Acts chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 19 and work our way to 28. So again, Acts 14, verses 19 through 28. Listen to God's word. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commanded to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. And so my aim this morning really comes from these last couple verses. And my aim this morning is to declare all that God has done in our lives. And I hope in doing this that you'll get to kind of know our family a little bit more. But at the same time, in declaring all that God has done, my prayer is that it would cause you to worship Christ, who is King. And my prayer is that it would cause you to persevere in faithfulness to the day when you will see him face to face for all eternity. Because he is worthy of praise. And in closing, I really want to just paint a picture of what does it look like? What are some of the needs and some of the challenges in living on the field? And really hoping that it would spur you to pray and fall on your knees and ask the Lord for more labors. But even so, in doing that, you know, really pleading, Lord, how would you use us? Would I be one of those men or women that would go and take the gospel to the nations? And so let me open up and just pray for our time, and then we will walk through this passage. Father, I do just give you praise for your goodness. We praise you for the examples that we have that you have so greatly given us of men like Paul and Barnabas who have taken the gospel to the nations. And so, Father, as we hear your word, we do pray that it would cause us to worship you, that it would cause us to worship your Son, Christ, who has paid our debt on the cross and declared us righteous. And so we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. And so just in opening up, we're going to just kind of walk through just some of these verses. And in the midst of that, you'll just hear more about what it's like in Turkey. So we're just going to start verse 19. So it says, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. And so right here, you know, just to understand first the context, we have Antioch, which is more than likely Antioch of Pisidia, which is where we see Paul had gone first proclaiming the gospel. And so in Antioch of Pisidia, he goes into these synagogues to proclaim Christ, and he starts walking them through that Christ has come, and they invite him back again. And in inviting back, the whole town is coming. And he looks at the whole town, and just listen to what he says in verses 46 and 47. He says, you know, Paul and Barnabas spoke boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Again, this was in a Jewish synagogue. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So right here is just this picture when in Acts 1 they said, okay, look, you will receive the Holy Spirit from the power from on high, and you will be able to go to, you will stay in Jerusalem and go to Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. And this is really that fulfillment of that passage. And so when we're talking about, as I begin to share about Turkey, this is really God's fulfillment through the sending of the Holy Spirit by Christ coming so that we can now freely and joyfully walk in obedience to him who says, I will be with you always as we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So as we go, that's really our hope, as we know that it is one that Christ has commanded us and is one is a joy to walk in obedience to him, to take the gospel to Turkey. And so he goes on, and we see Antioch, and then he goes in and says, but Jews came from Antioch and also Iconium. After he went to Antioch, you know, there was people that were, they were persuaded, and he had to leave then Antioch, and he goes and then preaches again to those in Iconium. And it's there as well, he's preaching. They almost think that him and Barnabas are some gods because they see a man who is healed and they start to bring them sacrifices. And again, they leave and they go to Lystra. And so this story right here is being taken place as our passage is taking place in Lystra. But we see that those from where he had been before are coming. And it says that they persuaded the crowds, stoned Paul, and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. So that's how much the death of just the pain of being stoned so much was to the point of almost being dead. And so we go on, just listen with me to verses 20 through 22. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. So again, those areas where he had already been, strengthening the souls of the disciples encouraging them to continue in the faith. So we'll just stop right there real quick. So encouraging them to continue in the faith. So first, this is what he's encouraging them with. So we have to be reminded as we are going out what Christ has done for us. What is the faith that we believe? And so that is our rock as we go out, that Christ, who is God, came down to earth, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross for our sins, but he was with no sin. And that he bore our wrath on the cross, but that death had no hold on him, and he rose 3 days later, declaring that he was alive and that he was God, and then he rose to the side of the Father, still reigning as king to this day. And so when we go out, we are under the rule of that king, and we are going into a land that is ruled by Satan. And so we have to be prepared to walk through trials. We have to be prepared to walk into this battle and to walk into what does it look like to proclaim a gospel to a man who is Muslim, who has never heard of Christ, who has been blinded by the truth. And so we have to know the gospel. And so he encourages them in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And, you know, for our family, this was something we would have told people. You know, the same thing. You know, there's this idea that suffering happens in the Christian life. There's this, we know on piece of paper, theologically, God is sovereign and reigning as king. But in another aspect, sometimes when that happens in our own life, when things happen and we actually have to not just say those truths, but live out those truths, that becomes something different. And so that's something that the Lord kind of used and walked through with our family. So I told you that we lived in Russia for 3.5 years. So my wife and I, we met there. We longed to go to the area of the North Caucasus, which is very unreached. It's hard for Americans, Westerners, just to even get in. And that's where we wanted to be and serve the Lord for the rest of our lives. And then we decided to come back just on a furlough. Plan was just to be in the States for 6 months. And right before flying out from Russia, my wife started having just some earaches, headaches. And then when we landed, we just went and saw a few doctors. They couldn't really figure anything out. We just kind of continued on with our time in the States. And I was preaching at a church. And at this time, I was preaching in the evening service, and my wife was in the background, unknowns to me, okay, in the background throwing up. And so after the service, she came up to me and just started, we found out what was going on. It was, again, a Sunday, so we went to the emergency room, again, talked to the doctors, asked different questions, and the doctors ended up doing a CT scan on my wife, and we didn't get in until roughly middle of the night, so they woke me up. And they said, I just want to let you know that we found a large mass in your wife's brain. And so it was at that moment where it's just like everything seeps and you're just like, what's going on? You know, it's just, we had no idea. And we start asking the Lord, what's going on? And the only thing that really came to our minds at that moment was in James 1, where it says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And we knew the verse. We were just trying to ask, okay, Lord, what does this mean? How do we count these things joy? And it went through times of just where she couldn't really speak. She couldn't sit in the light. She was most days in her bed, and we're just trying to figure out, Lord, what would you have us do? How would you have us serve you? And so I started looking, and we just thought at that time, okay, Lord, the door is shut. We're not going back to Russia. We're not even going back overseas. We're going to have to stay in the States. We're going to have to take care of my wife and figure out what's going on. And I started looking for jobs. Everything got kind of shut. And then it came shortly after the elders at our church, where Matt Nagel and I met at Emmanuel Baptist Church, just started praying for my wife. And in God's kindness, he took away the symptoms that she had. We all started talking. We were sitting in the light. It was like things. You would look at her and think nothing was wrong. But then she still had this very large tumor. So, again, I don't know if I even said, but she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And so things went away. So we're starting to ask, okay, Lord, how would you have us serve you? What would you want us to do? How could we walk alongside the church and continue to walk out of weakness, proclaiming you as the one who is great and worthy of praise? Because you've already done everything for us. You've already paid the penalty of our sin, and there's nothing else we need. And so this is the idea that Paul, I think, is doing, is to proclaim that we will suffer. But he's already declared that promise that we will see him for all eternity face to face. And so no matter what goes on here, there's already the promise that we will live with him for all eternity. And so we were reminded by that over and over again as we were walking through this trial. That is what God taught us. And so as Paul says that we must enter the kingdom of God through many trials and tribulations, it was a good thing for us to walk through brain cancer. It was a kindness that we count from the Lord that taught us even more about a son, even more about eternity. And so we began praying, and it was around that time that we were actually out at another missions agency's training, doing the training, helping out with the training, and the left side of my body went numb. And so, went to the doctor, got all sorts of tests done. After different tests, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And so again, walking through, okay, Lord, what does this mean? What do we do? And in the midst of all this, we still had a desire to go. We still wanted to go. And so we met with one of the questions is, could we? And then we met with some of the elders, and we said, okay, here's our desire. We want to go. Our desire is to go to Turkey. That's what we've been praying about. We had been there multiple times. And Russia, the medical care in Russia was kind of off for us. So we decided we needed to go somewhere else where there was good medical care. And so we approached our elders. And really our question to our elders was, are we crazy for desiring to go overseas? That was kind of our main question. And they had seen us walk through this was over about a 2-year span, just kind of seen our lives, and they kind of affirmed us in our desire to go. And so in 2017, we flew out, and it was really during that time we were walking through with the Nagels, walking through with another family that was also desirous of joining us. And in 2017, our family flew out and landed in Turkey. And to kind of just show you the beauty and the wisdom of our God. You know, a lot of times to get into some of these Muslim countries, there's like, you have to have some type of identity, sometimes a platform to receive a certain visa to live there long term so that you can proclaim the gospel. And in Turkey, the medical care is really good. In a lot of areas, not every area, but we picked a city that really had good medical care, and they have these visas that are called medical tourism. So in essence, due to us and Lord's kindness in giving us sicknesses, giving my wife brain cancer and MS, we are receiving treatment in Turkey, and our visa is to receive treatment. So it's not anything that we ever would have thought of. And it's not anything that we ever would have, you got to think, like doors have been open so that we can proclaim to people that we would have never had a chance to. We get to share with Ashley's doctors and her nurses, they're the same ones mostly every time we go in. And so they get to know us. They get to see our life. And we have times when she's receiving chemo or whatever it be. And we're there with them over a duration of time. And it gives us chances for them to ask us questions and for them, for us to get to know them. And so I think when we see this, we must go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. We must read that with joy. And just when trials come, again, they're not going to be easy. But there's been this promise of the Holy Spirit so that we will see his face one day. So when we go on in verse 23, it says, "And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed." And so right here, we have this emphasis on the local church. And I think, you know, as we're thinking about going, and we're thinking about going to the ends of the earth, the local church has to be our emphasis. It has to be our goal, because it is the local church that really is a display of those who are covenanted together, who have been saved by Christ, and are displaying the kingdom of Christ to the nations, to the dead world that is around them. And so many times as people go out, if we have seen different people that are on the field going out, there is not even an understanding of the church and the local church. There are so many people that are living on the field and just proclaiming other things. We know many people who aren't even going to church who are on the field. We know others who are proclaiming the prosperity gospel. We know many who are, in essence, to kind of steal Joel Osteen's tag, they're living the best life now. So they're the ones that have the great apartments, who are doing these great things, and they think that is their display of God's kingdom. Or we know of another family who rented the best apartment in the city with a view. Again, we live in a beautiful city, so I'm not going to lie. We're on the beach. We have the Mediterranean Sea right there. We have mountains right behind us. And so it's not, it is void of God's beautiful creation. But they have bought a very beautiful apartment so that they can use it as a prayer closet for those that are there. And just look out into creation, and that's their ministry. And it's just void of the local church. It's void of gathering people to worship the name of Christ. And so as we have gone out, it's been our desire ever since day one. You know, I can remember before we left, you know, especially with Matt and Lisa, we sat down and just started planning, what does it look like to go out? What does it look like to plant a church? Neither of us had really been a long-term. He'd never been overseas. We had never been to Turkey long-term. And so what does that look like? But I think the essential part is, in that vision of the local church, that was essential in our going, that we kept focused on what does it look like to partner, to plant, and by the Lord's kindness, not quite a year ago yet, it was last October, right in the midst of COVID, we were able to plant a small little church and start a little church plant alongside a man named Hakan and his wife Sarai. And when I think about the last 3.5 years, honestly, this man is, Hakan is one of the guys that just, I continue to praise the Lord for. Because he is a man that just is faithful, that loves the Lord, loves to preach, loves to proclaim the gospel, and he is just bold in his evangelism, and he's a joy to me. We have walked through trials even in being in Turkey, and he'll call me up and he'll say, "Matt, please come over. I want to have breakfast together, and I want to just remind you of the truth of the gospel." So this is a man that we can walk and be mutually encouraged. And so right now, Hakan and I are serving as pastors at this small little church. And so we have roughly 15 people that are gathering. And it's a joy to see men and women gathering from different parts of the world to worship the name of Christ. So we move on. It says in verse 24, then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and they had spoken the word in Perga. They went down to Attalia, and from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And so right, I was telling a friend of mine, you know, what passage I was going to preach through, and he says, of course. If your city that you live in is mentioned in the Bible, you got to preach that one. And so right here, we see where Paul is going, and it uses the phrase Attalia, which is to the modern day. Right now we have the city Antalya, which is where our family lives. And so it's neat to read through the book of Acts, because really a lot of these cities are right around our corner. Where we live, we still have Ephesus that is nearby. We still have, you know, Perga was a 30-minute, well, by car, 30-minute drive, and you can get and see the old ruins of Perga. And so, of course, during that time, it would be a whole lot different because he'd be walking. And so, but there still is, interestingly, what they call a road that goes up to where he probably would have traveled to Antioch of Pisidia. It's an old Roman road, still with the stone ground in the floor, and you can still see it today and walk on it. And so it's a city that is just beautiful to be in, to see the history, but Mike kind of alluded a little bit on this one. It's a city, our city is roughly about 1.5 million people, and on a good number, maybe 300 believers. And so it's a city that is very lost, it's dark, it's been blinded by the eyes of this world. And so we have mostly of those people, they would be of the Muslim background. Again, tourism is really big in our city, so there's a lot of people come in from the West. And so because of that, people have been kind of understood of what does it look like to think a little differently. So some of those Muslims aren't what I would call more nominal Muslims. So they would just be like, yeah, you believe in Jesus, I believe in Allah, it's all the same. And so they kind of have that idea. There's others that are more conservative in their thinking, and they'll be, you know, practicing the different times of prayer, they'll do the feasts, they'll do all that, but not, it's not as common. And so that is a little bit just about our city. But it is also a city, you know, for us that it's kind of neat, is we have people from Iraq, Iran, we have people from Russia, Ukraine, Azerbaijan, and just all these different areas that are coming to the city, and we have the opportunity to even proclaim to them. And so even in our little church of 15 people, we have a guy that's from Azerbaijan. We have a girl from Iran. We have a husband who is Turk, and the wife is from Chile. And so they're all their kids are there. They have four kids. And we have other Turks that are there. Of course, we're from America. And so we see these different peoples that are gathering together from the nations. And so even as we reminded of what Paul said to Antioch and Pisidia, he said, I'm turning to the Gentiles. I'm turning to the nations. And the Lord is opening up a door to preach the gospel. In essence, our understanding can be to the ends of the earth. And so we get the privilege of just seeing that week after week as we gather. It doesn't make it easy, because a lot of these people are coming from different language backgrounds, you know, and we don't speak all those languages. And so it does have some challenges that come to it, but it is a joy in a sense. So as we go on, in verses 27 and 28, it says, and when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. So in essence, as I was reading through this, I've already kind of sold some things. I just started taking note of what are some of the highlights over our past 3.5 years of what God has done And really, God has done to open up a way of proclaiming the gospel over the past 3.5 years. And so it began, really, as I told you, with taking away my wife's symptoms so that we could even go. You know, it started there. And then interestingly, as we were getting ready to go, there was they weren't giving out visas for Americans anymore from America to fly to Turkey. And so we had our plane tickets to fly out, but we didn't have a visa to enter the country. And the Lord opened up a way where we, before the law changed, were able to fly to Germany, stay the night in the airport, fly to Antalya, and we received a visa in the airport of Turkey, and they allowed us in. And the day after we arrived, that law changed where nobody could do that again. And so the Lord opened up a way for us to get in. The people in Germany, they go, "We just want to let you know, you may not get in." And I said, "I'm willing to take the risk. Let's go. We have all our kids here, all of our stuff, all our life. We're going." I said, "I've already made it this far. We're going in." And so the Lord was kind to get us in. After that, we were able to receive those medical tourism visas. And it was interesting, when we entered you fill out all this paperwork, and they advertise so much. They got little pamphlets everywhere, medical tourism, what does it look like to receive it? And so you can go around. And we go into the visa place, and all of a sudden we hand our paperwork. They see what we're applying for, and they go, "We got one." And it was like nobody else had ever come to do medical tourism. And so we were just like coming over, and they're like, "What do you need?" And it was just so great, because normally when people come in, you can get these visas and they ask you all sorts of questions. Do you have money to live here? Can we see? They ask you for, like, they want to see your bank account so that they know you are a sufficient amount of money to live in their country if they provide you a visa. They ask all these things. For us, you're good. We were in. No questions. We got the visa, 2-year visa, and it was great. And it's really opened up ways for us to converse with people, because for people really think highly, especially in our city, of their medical care. Antalya is a city where people come from different parts of Turkey to study medicine. It's one of the main areas where people will come if they want to be a doctor or a dentist or anything like that. And so when we say we're coming to Antalya to receive medical treatment, I remember one time we were taking a Turkish language class, and we were in there with different foreigners, and they asked us, "Why would you come to Turkey to receive treatment? America's got to be the best, right?" And before a word could come out of my mouth, our teacher stood up, and she just listed like 10 reasons why. And I was like, "Those are good. I'm going to write them down." You know, it's like, I keep that on note. And so it's just, they think very highly of the medical treatment. And so when we tell people we're here to receive treatment, they don't think anything. They just think it's normal. They think it's wise, even. And so it's opened up times of being able to share the gospel. And then even for our kids, it's been even a highlight for us of just how God has opened up, used our kids to really open up opportunities of sharing the gospel. And so our kids right now are going to a private Turkish school that is over there. And so they're learning the language. They're meeting other local friends. And so it's a joy for us to see some of their closest friends are locals that are there. And that has also given us great opportunities to meet the parents. And so we've had people, all these parents into our home, had meals with them, and had opportunity to proclaim this truth of Christ to them. And most of the time when we proclaim at first, it just kind of goes in and it goes out. And, you know, it's something like, "Oh, yeah, we've learned about that." But then as they see our life and they're able to walk just with us, we've had so many people just come back and say, "Wait a second now. What you're displaying is a different Christianity that we've ever learned about." And so they begin to ask even more questions as we just share our life with them, share a meal with them. And so there's one family in particular, and you can be praying for them. Their name is Ibrahim and Muge. They are friends from Levi, our youngest classroom, and we've just gotten to know them real well. And We shared with him. Brought him over to our home. And one day, after just some hardship with our family, which I'll get into in a little bit, is that they came over, and Ibrahim called me up and said, "Hey, Matt, you want to go swimming?" Again, we're by the Mediterranean Sea, and I thought, whoa, we're going to be doing some laps. I got to get ready. And so we go out. We literally swim out a little bit, and then he stops. He just wants to talk. And so it's very Turkish-type thing, is you just get to an area where you can talk. And so he just starts asking, "Okay, I want you to tell me again about your understanding of who Jesus is." And we just had a chance to walk through that. And he's still asking questions. So it's been, again, we've got to know them for over the past 2.5 years. We met them 2.5 years ago. And he still does. He's written me while I've been in the States. He's like, "I can't wait till you get back so we can sit down again." And so you can just be praying for Ibrahim and Muge. And then another joy is a lady named Masi. She's an Iranian lady who actually got saved through just the life and testimony of some of our friends who live in Malaysia. And so she was living in Malaysia, heard the gospel when she was there, but then due to COVID, she couldn't stay there, so she went back to Iran. And then while she was there, she couldn't find, in her city, there was no church, and she had always desired of moving to Turkey. So she told her friend this, "I'm thinking of moving to Turkey. I want to live there. I want to find a job there." And then our friend hears this, is like, "I know people in Turkey. You should go there." And so she moved to Antalya, literally, to be part of a church. That was her whole reason. And so she arrived probably 3 weeks before we flew out to come to the States. She was living in our home. We had her in our home. It was a joy just to bring her in. Usually at nighttime, our family has been reading through the book of Acts, and so we're just walking with her through the book of Acts and sharing with her the truth of God's word. And she was just in tears, looked at me, and she's like, "Matt, can I record these things? Because I want to listen to it more." And so just to see her hunger has been a joy. Some of the trials I want to share, I'll just share one since time is coming. But in essence, you know, things were going well. The Lord had kind of opened up doors. He brought us, and we're walking through suffering. And then after being there for a time, my wife went back on the pill form of chemotherapy. But then when she came off of that, because you're only supposed to be on it for so long, she came off, and she started having seizures. And that was kind of something new to us. Started having multiple times a day, over a duration of a while, trying to figure out what's going on. And so trying to just figure out, I mean, she was quite weak in those times. And if I'm honest with you, for how long it was going on, I thought that was the time the Lord was going to take my wife. And so we began to pray and just ask the Lord, okay, again, we're here. And this was the joy of Hakan and Sarai, and the joy of another family that came out with us just to walk with us, shepherd us, and the joy of the local church. And I think the joy of the local church in missions. And my wife started radiation treatment, and she's been on chemotherapy, and the Lord has just continued to sustain her. And so it's been neat to see again to a point where I thought the Lord was going to take her, and now looking now, I'm like, I'm more amazed than ever and just speechless. And it brought me to a point, which is very good for me. It's like, okay, Lord, if you long to take her, she is yours. And that was a hard moment, but it was a good moment. If you have more questions, I'll tell you later, but I want to close really with one thing. The field is there are millions of people that do not know the name of Christ. And so one of the things I think when Christ asks us to pray for laborers, that is something as a comeback to the States that has been on my heart, is that we continue to pray that others would go. But to also think that it doesn't always have to come from America. That it doesn't always have to be us that are the ones going. You know, we're even praying that the Lord would raise up people in Turkey and send them to other parts that we can't go. Parts that are hard for us. You know, the area that we lived in Russia was hard. As a Westerner, it didn't make sense. So when I'm telling you what it makes sense for us being in Turkey, where we were in Russia, didn't make sense. It was odd for us to be there. We were there, but people are like, I don't get it. But if another person from another culture goes there, sometimes it makes a little bit more sense, and they have a lot more ability to proclaim the gospel clearly because they're kind of from a similar culture. And so we are praying that the Lord would raise up and send out more laborers. And then as we go, I just think it's important that we continue to plug ourselves into the local church here. Understand the church well. Understand the gospel well. Because as we go out, there aren't these many people that are surrounded around you just to walk with you. A lot of times you might be one other family that's there, or even less. I wouldn't suggest going out less, but at least one other family that is walking there with you, and they're just your comfort. But that is what it looks like to take the gospel to the nations. And honestly, it's a joy because Christ has already given us the hope that he will bring us into eternity. Let me pray. Father, we do just praise you for your time to just hear what you are doing. And as we're reminded, even as I am reminded of what you're doing, we pray that it would just cause us to worship. And even as we sing, let us sing with joy as one body gathered to worship your name. Amen.